When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Providing a quality financial life for our families is a goal shared by most people. While there's no way to prepare for all the curves and bumps that we'll all face, there are some things that we can prepare for, and childcare is one of those things. Hello everyone, I'm Scott Killian, a certified financial planner practitioner, and throughout my 14 years in financial planning, I've had the opportunity to talk with new families on some things that they absolutely need to be aware of as they make financial decisions for their families. Today we'll be focusing on childcare expenses. This is Parent Savers, episode 89.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, everybody. We're broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online on-the-go support group for parents from conception to kindergarten. I'm your host, John Arreal. Thanks again to all of our loyal listeners who join us week in and week out. And thanks also to those of you who are listening for the first time. As you may know, you can join our Parent Savers Club and receive access to special bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts from time to time. And if you haven't already, please make sure to download the free Parent Savers app available in the Android and iTunes marketplaces so you can automatically have access to all the great parenting advice and conversation we have on Parent Savers every week. Let's start this week's conversation by meeting everyone who's joining us. I'll actually start. As you guys know, I'm John Arreal, and I have three boys. Quinner is not quite seven, but he's about to turn seven in 3 days from when this is released. Whitaker is four, and Zyler is two. And now that I have three kids, I know why people forget the ages, because they're always turning different ages, and it's coming up. So, yeah, Andy.
Hi, my name is Andy Loy, and we have a 6-year-old named Devin, and I'm here with my wife, Valerie.
Hello. I'm currently a stay-at-home mom, and we're just raising our son. He'll be 7 this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm Erin Estevez, a producer, also known as OG Mamacita. I have one little boy. He just turned 2, and I need sleep.
Right. And money, right? And that's why we're talking to Scott. Well, I don't mean to.
I would give up money for sleep.
Right.
More money, more sleep.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, Scott. Scott's joined us before, but he's our expert today.
I'm Scott Killian, and I've got a 4-year-old boy, Alex.
Nice. All right, well, welcome to the show.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, before we dive into today's topic, we're going to look at another app, which we do from time to time here on Parent Savers. And it's an app that we've all checked out ahead of time, and we'll discuss it. And then at the end of the segment, let you know whether or not we recommend it, or if it's something you should pass on. And today we are talking about preschool games. We've got a link to it on the episode page on the website. And it's actually GS Preschool Games, because I think preschool games might be kind of a common name on the App Store. And so this particular one, it's actually really cool. I tested it out with my 4-year-old, who is right in the target of the title, preschool games. And it's a variety of different games that you can either pick the ones that you like or go through it generates different games, either match the object or which one is different, or there's a maze in there. And it's really cool and slickly done, and I think there's really good artwork. What did you guys think when you played it?
The artwork was great. The graphics were very bold and popped out and really grabbed the kids' attention, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was really engaging for them to be able, and pretty simple.
Yeah. And so my 4-year-old jumped right into it. And once he saw the maze one, that was his absolute favorite, because he loves, it's a chance for him to do mazes and figure it out. And it's a really easy interface with a big purple dot that can maneuver through.
One of the things that I, when I was looking at it, the music isn't as annoying as, as a lot of the other apps. I mean, it gets, I've seen some apps and it's just like.
I love that that's a pro. The music isn't as annoying.
It's very subtle.
I really liked it. My little boy, he's only two, so I couldn't get him to stand still long enough to like actually try any of the games.
But that's everything.
But that's everything, yeah, unless it's food or Curious George. I totally see this as something that he will be able to sit down and look at eventually, and I think it's great. I love it. I'm definitely giving it a thumbs up.
You know, I think, yeah, I'm going to give it a thumbs up, too. There's one thing I didn't like about it, and I was playing on the iPhone version, and I understand that people put ads in apps, and so I don't, but there are ads in the app, and the ads actually interfere with being able to progress through the game. And even my fingers and coordination, which theoretically are better than a preschooler,
right,
but they're bigger.
Again,
for sure.
Theory.
Yeah. would accidentally hit the ad sometimes when I'm trying to skip. And I think that's something that I imagine if we bring that up or put it in the comments, even on the app, that that's something that could be fixed. So I wouldn't want to ding it for that because I think the content is educational enough. It's not just like there's find the difference. There's match shapes.
Match games.
You know,
there's the mazes.
There's enough of an educational component and a fun component that it's definitely worth recommending. So thumbs up from me. What'd you guys think?
I'll give it a thumbs up too. I think if they do the, like usually a paid version, they remove the ads sometimes. I'm not sure on this game.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I was checking out the free version and then there's also a paid version.
So that might help.
Yeah,
but yeah, I can see that would.
If you are playing the free version, just be careful about those ads because they're easy to accidentally click on. When even if your kid knows to push the red X to progress, the ad is blocking half the X.
Well, that's why you have to make sure that your iTunes account requires a password so your kids don't accidentally order a bunch of stuff when they hit that ad.
We experienced that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check it out. We've got a link to it on the website, Preschool Games. And thumbs up from Parents.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, let's dive into the conversation today. Today's topic is 10 ways to save money on childcare, and I think we're going to have at least 10, if not more, but 10 is a nice round number. Today we're talking with Scott Killian, who's going to tell us more about ways that families can kind of maximize their childcare dollars and kind of even the different aspects of childcare that we might not even be thinking about. So welcome, Scott.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's, I guess, start with, you know, you're a financial planner practitioner. Let's talk about what that means and kind of what financial planning is, because I think a lot of people have a lot of different perceptions of it. And so let's just talk about what it is that you do and kind of what you think financial planning is.
Sure. Well, the financial planning process is nothing more than it's just a process of determining whether and how much an individual or family can meet their life goals through the proper management of their financial resources. There's a lot of powerful words in there. We talk about proper management, financial resources, life goals. I mean, these are heavy words,
right.
And we help. I help my clients with identifying their life goals and then helping them achieve them through proper education. That's really what it comes down to.
And so, really, the first step is kind of identifying, you know, what it is you're even talking about or desiring to save for, if you will. I
mean, absolutely. It's the first step, and it's a very long step because it's something that not very many people are crystal clear on. And we know this because a lot of times they will make decisions that are counter to their life goals.
Right.
They will make decisions that are counter to what they tell us is really important to them. You know, if they want to save for retirement or childcare expenses, and yet they want to go out and buy the expensive car that uses resources that would otherwise fund what they've just told us their life goals are, well, you have some conflict there.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, once you start looking at your goals, whether it's on that huge level or even on a smaller level, you realize how all these little decisions, you know, can be counter to that and add to it. And a lot of it then is just taking a look at it and, you know, kind of planning and then maybe changing behaviors
and
fit the goal.
Yeah. And how impactful they are when you nail it, when you sit down with your partner and you say, look, this is really what we want to accomplish, really and truly above all else. We want to make sure this happens. That communication is rare these days, I've found.
So do you see a lot of parents or first-time parents or whenever babies are coming? Do you have a lot of folks come in and that kind of changes their goals or that they're trying to set some things?
Yes, they come in the office and throughout and just out in the community, they know what I do and the conversation inevitably comes up and it's, you know, what do I need to do? It's a funny story. A buddy of mine who's actually in the industry was having his first child and we were out there having lunch. He's like, Scott, I just found out that we're going to have a baby. I got to go in. I've got to up my insurance. I've got to change, you know, beneficiary estate plan. I've got to make sure. I'm like, hold on, buddy. I mean, you need to be with your wife right now and you need right. to. So a lot of things is perspective. It's what's important and when is it important?
Yeah. And so then one of the big things and the topic of today's show is how are you going to care for that child? And that can mean a lot of different things. I mean, what do you guys think it means in the room? If you were saying we need to save money for childcare, what's that?
Childcare typically is defined as the cost to put your child into a daycare or nursery or preschool or nanny or the opportunity cost of staying home and foregoing working. And that's typically how you would define it in terms of, you know, in a financial perspective. However, you know, the 529 plan is certainly a childcare cost. Medical care is certainly a childcare cost. Yeah. Buying toys, the food, the, you know, what are you going to provide?
Are sports, certainly all
sports,
anything.
Everything. I mean, these are all child right. care costs.
Food when they become teenagers. Even
vacation breaks. I mean, you have to yeah. factor into that. A lot of people I know have to sort of save throughout the year just to pay for these costs when they're, you know,
on
breaks.
But let's look at these first hurdles, I guess, these financial sure. hurdles and planning that needs to be done. Do you recommend that it starts even before the baby's born?
I do. And where it starts is communication. Communication is the number one thing that must happen within a family in order to be square and straight on what it is that you want to do with your child in terms of childcare. I mean, let's face it, childcare, school, all these things are merely tools. We as parents are responsible for the care of our child. We make decisions based on our the best available choices to provide care and things for our children. So to be crystal clear on what it is that we want to provide, do you already know that your child's going to be this academic stud and we want to have a feeder, you know, school, right. you know, we want to make sure that it's a nanny or it's a stay at home, you know, we want to do all these things.
But the first step is really just identify
it's communication. It's sitting down. It's getting solid together on yeah. what it is.
And
then
there's
you move from there.
There's so many topics that we've covered that really that is such a key part is communicating about it and talking about it beforehand as opposed to in the moment.
Yeah, and it can't be emphasized enough. It really cannot be emphasized enough.
Okay. So then after we've identified our goals, so what do? We call Scott Killian or find another financial planner, or what can families
well, that's,
do?
Well, that's one option. Once you've identified what it is you want to do, well, then it's how are we going to do it? So this typically would be something along the lines of creating a budget. Mm-hmm. You would create a line item that says, okay, well, we know that it's better for both of us to work, as an example, so we need to provide childcare. We know that we've got a couple places in mind, or we've got a couple schools of thought, so we've done the research. We know how much it's probably going to cost. We put it in there just like we put it in our rent or mortgage payment or other non-discretionary expenses. I mean, these things have to come out of cash. You don't want to use credit. You don't want to take loans out for any of this. It's completely irresponsible to do that. So you put it in there as a line item and make sure that amount is being funded each and every month or however you pay for it.
Do you see family using Excel spreadsheets or are there programs that I mean, I think that the silver bullet for families would be, all right, what's an easy way for us to track the budget? And
sure.
It's harder. I think every family is a little bit different.
Sure. And Excel spreadsheets, I've seen those. I think nowadays people use Mint. Mm-hmm. Or they use Quicken, or they use an aggregator you can just plug in all of your bank accounts, and then you can code them to how you're spending. You can actually see in real time what's happening. Very powerful to see, especially when you're making decisions on how do we reallocate our spending or reallocate our cash flow. You know, you don't you know, you don't really need a financial planner to do that. You just need to have the inclination, right, the time, the willingness to sit down and figure it out.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is sticking to it. You'll get it all, a big idea, and then you'll get your Excel, everything's, all your expenses laid out, and then 4 months later.
And so what you say, Andy, is that's where you probably would need a financial
planner. Yeah, exactly.
You know, is to help stick to it.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't talked to our financial planner over a year. I would imagine it'd probably be a good idea to at least quarterly sit down with somebody like that, if you're not going to be as diligent as I should be.
Yeah, it's funny. I was at a we go to a community soccer practice, you know, and there are all these parents and their kids go there, and I overheard two dads talking, and you know, one of the dads was saying, "Oh yeah, you know, my wife's making me see a financial planner, and I don't really need to go see a financial planner and have him tell me that I'm spending too much. I know I'm spending too much, you know." But that's precisely why he does need to see one, because he doesn't seem to care that
it's almost,
you know,
like the check.
Yeah, so it's especially when we go back to our life goals. What do we want to accomplish, and are we actually doing the things that help that?
Yeah, yeah. We actually to try to track our expenses and see exactly what the reality was, because I mean, we don't track everything. You just kind of have a vague idea. I would imagine that's kind of, you know, maybe it's not, maybe that's part of our problem. But we started saving every single receipt for everything, and just the act of doing it makes you realize, maybe I don't need to be generating so many receipts.
And that's a great exercise to do. And you can see, you know, it's kind of, you know, other things too is actually going to the ATM and paying cash for everything.
Right.
You know? If I pay $100 at the grocery store, that's $100. You know, it's not just a swipe and in a credit card. So you can actually see and feel what it's like to spend the money, and how does that feel for you? You know, and is that okay?
My dad always talks about how, you know, in the 70s and the 80s with my mom, how every month she would get out envelopes and label them and put the exact amount of cash for each category in the envelope, and that was it.
And that's a very popular way to do it. And now in the digital age, you can actually open up bank accounts that will do the exact same thing, and you make your little deposits every single month, you know, little incremental deposits, and you've got your 12 or 15 bank accounts, and you can see that. That's a very popular and powerful way to do it. That's a time-tested way to...
But again, it takes that discipline. If you don't have that discipline, you know, and I think that that's something that we as parents need to kind of learn and teach our kids. Yeah. Because nobody taught me.
Right. Yeah, and if you're not communicating with your spouse, like you said earlier, then it's all going to go to shambles anyway. You have to really be on the same page with that.
Yeah, so like Andrea and I, for instance, will take turns playing the financial manager so that we each know what's happening. You know, I'll do it, and then she'll do it so that she knows how to get into the bank accounts, how to look at certain, you know, because you don't want to have this monopoly of information. One person knows how to do it, because what if you're not around, God forbid? Then what happens?
That's a great idea. Yeah. I like that idea.
It's just so interesting how important this is and how easy it is to just brush under the rug.
Oh, yeah.
And probably an overpriced rug.
Right. Bought on credit.
You know, but it's Persian, and it looks nice in the living room, especially with the accented walls, right?
Yeah. Well, it really ties the room together.
It really
nice. That's right.
So before we take a break, let's look at, I guess let's identify from a childcare perspective what are some of the common goals that people might have. And then we can look at ways that people can save, or incentives or tips that are kind of available. I think there's a ton of information to talk about. So I think that one is, like you're doing, Valerie, is stay at home, like be able to stay at home with their kids. There's also send kids to daycare, and there's a couple ways to do that. That's a whole topic that we'll be covering soon as well. Then there's like live-in help.
That's right. There's nannies,
au pairs. And then I guess there's just one-off babysitting that people could get. And, you know.
Well, let's not forget something, you know, some people may have access to this, grandparents.
Right.
Yeah. And some
huge,
of the help there.
Huge.
You know, my mom was living in Albuquerque for a while, and I just moved her back in September, and this was the first time ever, you know, that we've actually had somebody regularly wanting to spend time, and, you know.
Yeah.
So that's been a real big for free. Absolutely. So what's not, you know, it's funny because my dad actually probably was like, oh yeah, you know, make sure that you talk about, you know, the grandparents, because that could be a great, you know, free way to do that.
Excellent
resource if you have it. And, you know, this idea of sharing too. So you may not want to or may not be within your means to fund a nanny, but you could get a group of people together that could do some
co-ops.
Nanny sharing, co-ops, yeah. Parent sharing, nanny sharing, grandpa, you know,
all right,
et cetera.
Let's focus that on the second half, but real like, and I think that one thing with the grandparents, and we had a friend, it's all perspective, right? That, oh my gosh, the holidays are so busy. It's so hectic. I have so much I have to do. Like, she's telling this to Christina, like, I have to go over and drop the kids off at the grandparents again just so I can get the Christmas shopping done. And we're like, dude, because our grandparents don't live there. Like, so even when you do have access to those resources, or even if they are helping financially, sometimes you end up taking the hit otherwise and maybe spending more money or spending that money that you would have saved. So, all right, let's take a quick break and we'll talk about these specific tips about saving money on childcare.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back, everybody, to Parent Savers. Today, we're talking about ways to save money on childcare with Scott Killian. Let's start this segment off with a question from our listeners. Where did this one come through from, Aaron?
This one we got from Facebook, and nice. It's from Kathleen.
Okay.
And she is 7 months pregnant, and she's very worried because she's a single mom, or she will be a single mom, and she can barely make rent now. She's wondering, how does she save for childcare?
Well, if her income is really low, then the governments will usually step in and help with some of this. And really what you look at here is 200% of the federal poverty level. You know, something around, you know, for a family of four, I know it's like if you make like $47,000 or so, if she's single and one, it's going to be a lot less than that. They'll usually step in. You can, the states, you can look at CalWORKs and some of the social services areas to find subsidies for daycare. Usually the people will step in, and you can also look at some private foundations as well that specialize in this. I know Warren Buffett has one, and and so you can go out and seek those resources. So she has access to a computer. You can, you know, Google any one of these things, and you can go out and just fill out an application, and she can do that. But then the other thing I would recommend to her is do a budget. You know, exactly what is she making, yeah. And what does she have left over to contribute? You know, get crystal clear on her own financial position, and then see where other people can step in and help.
Great.
That's it. I mean, it's interesting. I wonder how many of those resources are available to, you know, folks in Kathleen's situation that maybe she doesn't know about, but they're out there to help. But I have heard of things like flex spending accounts.
That's true. I mean, that's so if you're fortunate enough to have a company that offers a flexible spending account, then you can contribute, and it's, you know, typically up to $5,000. That's virtually comes out before taxes. The qualified expense not taxed when it comes out, and you can use that to below kindergarten for those care expenses. Now that you have to weigh that against the child care dependent credit that you would get, which is $3,000 for one child or $6,000 of expenses for more than one. If you use your FSA, it kind of offsets the other. So the more money you make, and you have an FSA available, you're typically generally better off using that. The lower money that you make, you're typically and generally better off using the tax credit. So you kind of have to crunch the numbers and see what works out better for you.
Or just not file taxes.
Do you recommend that as a financial planner?
New Mommy Media does not promote.
I will take the fifth on that.
Just kidding.
One area that I don't really hear too much talked about, but I think is really important to talk about, is this idea of protection. When you think about your family, what can you, you know, and I always talk about it, you know, how do you maintain your house? You know, if something were to, you know, happen to an earning spouse or partner where they no longer were able to earn the money, would the family be able to continue to function just as it was before? And so you have to have this is another opportunity for communication with your family to determine how that's going to occur. One way that you would do this is by having a healthy emergency fund. I mean, typically we're talking 3 to 6 months of expenses that could help in the short term. Another thing to take a look at is disability insurance. If you, for some reason, can't work and you can get this long-term disability insurance, which could help fund over the course of time as you recover and try to find additional types of additional work. One of the easiest things that you can do is just take a look at your beneficiary designations on your retirement accounts. Is it the way that you want them? Yeah, you know, a lot of time, you know, we live in an era where there's lots of ex-spouses out there and such, and sometimes the beneficiaries don't get changed, and you know, we have problems there. So this should be checked on a regular basis. Make sure that everything is set there. Always, you know, have a primary and a contingent beneficiary. You know, get yourself tight there. And then finally, you'll want to look at your life insurance and make sure you're properly covered there, especially if you have young kids growing up. You probably have an insurance need. You want to figure that out and get the appropriate coverage there.
Do you have any recommendations on the disability insurance? If you're like, if it's not offered by an employer, or what that might cost per month?
Well, it depends.
Roughly.
Yeah, it depends upon what you do, and you have to go through a certain round. So if you're part of any kind of organization, if you're, you know, like for instance, if you're an accountant and you're part of Cal CPA or AICPA or financial planner and involved in NAPFA or FPA or so, yeah, a lot of times these groups will offer discounts on long-term disability. But you would want to talk to a competent broker and who deals specifically with situations that apply to you, and have them provide you with some quotes.
Okay.
Just a question about life insurance. I mean, do you recommend any specific like term life insurance?
Well, there's a case to be made for all different forms in general. If you're just looking for what I typically look for is just term insurance. You want the purest form of insurance to cover it, and that's typically through when your kids are no longer under your care. You know, they're through college, and then you can stop that.
Okay, so now I'm getting scared because we're trying to save money for childcare, and now I have to get more insurance and more. So how do we balance this? I mean, maybe we can look at it from, like, let's say Valerie comes in your office. Valerie and Andy, they say, look, now that we're having our child, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. What are the things that you would look at, and how would you fit saying, well, we need to have insurance and it's important for him to plan for college, but how could you help fit that into the short-term goal of making her staying at home a reality?
Sure. So the first thing, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, is what are your goals? I can't stress that enough, and it sounds like a broken record, but really, you know, so we would talk about, look, let's here's a blank sheet of paper. What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish for your family and for your kids? And then we would make sure that we get to the root of everything, and then we would create a hierarchy of that. I don't like to think of budgeting as like a financial diet or as scarcity. I think of it as abundance. This is the thing that we're trying to do to accomplish. One of the greatest powers that we have is to use the dollar that we earn in some way. We can spend it, or we can use it to make more money, or we can use it to improve our quality of life, and that's what we want to do. So what we want to do is create this hierarchy, and with education, say, look, okay, Valerie, you know, this is what you and Andy have said that are really important to you. This is what you've identified. Here's what the income that's coming in. So let's start making a plan. It's not going to happen overnight, but this is that's what financial planning. It's a plan. It's a process. It's a living and breathing.
And I guess what I'm really hearing and what I'm just thinking about is, so much I feel like of modern life for many of us is spent thinking about what we don't have, thinking about how to get what we don't have, or thinking about how to fill the gap from where we are to somewhere. But really what we need to be doing is focusing on what we do have, and then prioritizing what's coming from that pot. So we do have a pot of money. The pot of money is not twice the size that it is. So as we prioritize our goals, how can we make it all fit in that pot? Knowing that we're making decisions that, you know what, buying that shuffleboard table is really important to me right now. So that's going to take a hit on it. Sure. It's going to have impact on everything else.
Absolutely. And really, it comes down to a couple of things. One is, can you maintain your current, you know, have you identified and created a plan for you that you're comfortable with? Great. Can you maintain it if something were to happen, some contingency planning, which would, you know, I've talked about a little bit of, on the protection side. And then once you're able to do that, can you grow your assets to help down the road for yourself, for retirement, for your kids?
So let's say you want to send your kids to daycare. And like I said, that's a topic we're going to be diving into. So if you have questions about that, send them on in. What are some tips maybe if you are going the daycare route that you can...
Yes. Yeah. So going to daycare, you kind of have to think creatively. If you go, okay, wow, that's a really expensive bill, but I really want to send my child to daycare. Well, let's start thinking creatively. Can I volunteer at the daycare? Can I get a part-time, you know, can I get a discount, you know, for participating? If I work, will my employer help participate in? Sometimes they've got these policies where they'll help for childcare expenses. Maybe there's a childcare facility inside your work that you're comfortable with, and you can mm-hmm. you can look at that. Maybe there's some fringe benefit. It really comes down to thinking as creatively as possible, seeing how you can participate, give a benefit to the daycare. They'll give you a benefit back, you know, maybe. So
and so the college where Christina works. They even offer deals on their childcare on campus, which is part of their program to alumni. So, I mean, there's a price for faculty and staff and students, but alumni also have access to that. So maybe that's another
absolutely
too. If you live in the same town where you went to school, maybe there's a place on campus where it's a little more affordable because there's some students in training, but they're obviously supervised. And they're not the ones that are hands-on with the kids, but there's another idea.
One of the other things, too, that I've found has worked really well for me is joining online groups of like-minded individuals that have actually done the things that you'd like to do. So, like, for me, you know, I'm part of a natural families group. I'm also part of a positive parenting group. And, you know, financial things come up from time to time, you know, and childcare comes up from time to time, and I get little tidbits here and there, and I can actually see how some of these folks have gone through and done the things that they wanted to do through their own diligence and research and efforts.
And so those are easy to find these days. Just easy, go to like Meetup or Yahoo or
something like that. Yep. So it's
also a lot of churches offer daycare as well.
That's right.
They're generally a lot more discounted than the standard.
That's a great point.
Secular,
absolutely.
And it's free during service a lot of times.
Yeah.
Too.
At least.
So,
we're Catholic, we're Lutheran, we're Episcopalian.
That's right. Exactly. On Monday, I'm Catholic.
Yeah, Monday,
on Tuesday,
Saturday. We're
Do I qualify for a discount? Yes, I am. But I think this goes back to the question earlier of, you know, should we start doing this before the baby's born? Well, sure, before the baby's born, absolutely. You can start the research now. You can start the planning process now, and you probably have a little bit more time before the baby's born than you will after the baby's born to do some of this stuff. So if you're in that position, go for it.
Yeah. We talked about utilizing grandparents, but another really interesting idea is sharing care. For anyone that's priced out nannies or even au pairs, and I mean, and there's benefits, and my brother-in-law in New York, they got an au pair, but she spent Christmas with us and she spent Thanksgiving with us. But maybe there's ways to share it with a family that all of a sudden cuts that expense drastically down.
Absolutely. And this is through the online groups too. You can always just post a question or through a community. Hey, is anybody looking for certain care? I mean, we're going through this right now when Alex is done with his school. We need to find care for him, you know, through the summertime. So we're trying to pool other parents, you know, that to do this, you know, to kind of do that. And that's just a discussion. It's just a, you know, what you feel comfortable with.
It is true. It's good to remember that, you know, like you were saying, we're not the first ones that have gone through this. There's other people that have gone through it and have come up.
We're
with
not reinventing the wheel here.
Yes.
It's if you can find a group of people that you're comfortable with, friends of yours that are like-minded, that you're comfortable and that you're confident, because you also have to vet these. You know, a lot of times you'll hear a lot of garbage out there too. So, you know.
Yeah, with all the social media, it's so much easier now to be able to, you know, group together and get like-minded people all together and share a common goal. And
mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I wanted to mention, I know we have tax planning on here, and I think that, you know, what's really important here is when, again, going back to communication, you know, so you've got, you know, what do you want to accomplish for the family? So you've got, you know, potentially a flexible savings account. You've got potentially a dependent care credit. You've got a child care tax credit that you can use on the tax return. But when you're making the decision of, you know, should somebody stay home, you know, one of the big benefits there is that could actually move you into a lower tax bracket too, because the income is not as much. Mm-hmm. So there are some things to think about here. And, you know, you can think about other things too, like, you know, if both spouses are working, then you're more likely to eat out, because who's going to prepare the meals? But then you can make better decisions grocery wise. You know, do you have to buy a lot of clothes for work? You don't have to do that. You can, you know, stay at home. So there are expenses can be restricted. So let's think outside the box here when we're talking about that, and it may make a lot of sense because preschool and daycare is not required. So, you know, you
right.
can.
Yeah, and it is nice to spend some time with your kids too for the first few years.
I mean, let's face it, nobody replaces mom and dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Scott, for joining us. For more information about this, make sure to check the information on our website, on our episode page on parentsavers.com. We'll continue the conversation from members of our Parent Savers Club after the show. He's going to tell us a little bit more about some of the government programs and applying for flex spending, and I've got a little bit of flex spending stuff I want to talk about as well. For more information about the Parent Savers Club and how you can be a part of it, please visit our website at parentsavers.com.
Hi, Parent Savers. This is Jody with Urban Sitter, a website that connects you to friend-tested sitters. I'm here to help you figure out the right questions to ask when searching for a babysitter. When am I going to need a sitter? When embarking on the search for a babysitter, it's important to ask yourself, when am I going to use this sitter? Do you need a fast responder that can be available for spur-of-the-moment work functions? Perhaps someone primarily available in the evenings for date nights, or a dependable sitter to cover scheduled daytime events such as doctor's appointments? If you need someone on short notice, then you're going to need to find someone who lives nearby and responds quickly to requests. Also, be sure to confirm the sitter's transportation situation. You'll need to pick them up, or do they have a reliable way to get to your home? Some sitters are only looking for occasional work on the weekends, while others may be up for consistent part-time work. So set expectations up front so neither you nor the sitter is disappointed when a job is declined. The goal is to build yourself a network of sitters with a range of availability so you are never left in a bind. None of us should have to depend on one sitter. Let's face it, most babysitters are young adults who are still learning to be responsible. Look for a sitter who responds quickly to your emails or phone calls, and it's a good indication that they will show up to your babysitter sitting job on time. Okay, Parent Savers, it's time to say hello to your old friend Spontaneity. Visit urbansitter.com to find and book babysitters your friends know and love.
That wraps up our show for Parent Savers today. We appreciate you listening. Don't forget to check out our sister show Preggy Pals for expecting parents, The Boob Group for moms who breastfeed their babies, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. Next week, we're going to be talking about the legalities of parenting, some of the rights and responsibilities that parents have, and when they should start thinking about that. I guess we're starting off the new year with a lot of, you know, making sure our financial and legal houses are in order. So thanks for listening. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.